Take your Bibles, if you would, Ezra chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 3 and hopefully finish the chapter 3, tonight. Just by way of review, the book of Ezra starts out with the Persian King Cyrus issuing a decree saying to all the Jews that if you want to go back home, if you want to go back to Israel, if you want to go back to Jerusalem, you're free to go. But when you go, I want you to rebuild the house of God. I want you to rebuild the temple. You don't have to go, but if you want to go, you can. And if you decide not to go, I want you to help those that do go. I want you to give them gold and silver and goods and beasts and things that they need to make the trip back and then rebuild the temple. And so we met a man by the name of Zerubbabel that led a remnant, a small group of the Jewish population, about 50,000, back to Jerusalem. And in chapter 2 is a list of those families and priests and Levites that went back. And we ended last week in chapter 3, verse 2, where they built an altar where they offered burnt offerings according to the law of Moses. Okay, so they went back to the law that God had given Moses on Mount Sinai about the different offerings that he wanted offered. And they began, as they set up that altar, they began to offer those offerings. Now, look at verse 3 as we start tonight. And they set the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. So one of the reasons they set the altar up first was because of their fear of the people of those other countries, the countries that were around Israel, the countries that were around Jerusalem, and the people that lived there. And notice when they went back, they didn't immediately start building the wall. I mean, the wall was torn down. And a city back in that day that didn't have a wall was defenseless. Anybody could come in and pillage. Anybody could come in and rob. Anybody could come in and spoil the city that didn't have a wall around it. But they didn't build a wall. They didn't build an army. Probably didn't have enough younger men to build an army. But they didn't build offensive weapons. I mean, they didn't, you know, spend their money on swords and spears and shields and different things like that. They built an altar. The first thing they did was build an altar. All the other things that could have been done, all the other things that might have been done, if they were done, would show their dependence on themselves. If they built a wall, they were saying, this is something we can do that we can defend ourselves with a wall. If they built an army or raised up an army, it was, again, saying, we're going to depend on ourselves. We can fight off the people of these other countries that might want to come in and harm us. If they spent their money buying swords and spears and different offensive weapons, again, it was saying, hey, we're going to depend on ourselves. We get these weapons, we can defend ourselves against whoever would come against us. But they built an altar. And as they built an altar, instead of showing dependence on themselves, they showed dependence on God. It was really the only thing and the right thing, the first thing that they should have done, that they did, was to build that altar. All the other things would take time. I mean, we read in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah came back to build the wall. It took him 52 days. It would have taken time to raise an army and train an army. It would have taken time to assemble offensive weapons. But they could quickly turn back to God. They could quickly worship him the way that he said to do through Moses. They could quickly declare their dependence on him and trust him to protect them from the people that were in those other countries. They could do that immediately. The walls of Jerusalem had been down for 70 years. I mean, Jerusalem had been the capital city of a nation that at one time ruled the earth. Under King David, under King Solomon especially, the rule of Israel spread across the earth. And the other nations of the earth heard about Israel. I mean, they knew Solomon, they knew David, and they knew the way that God had blessed Israel. They did not want that city of Jerusalem to be rebuilt. They did not want the temple to be rebuilt. They did not want the Jews to have a revival and come back to God. They had the run of the city. They had the run of the people that were left there, and they did not want anything to change. They wanted it to stay exactly as it was. Now, let me just remind you of something. We pray for a revival, as we should. God wants us to have revival. But let me remind you tonight that Satan is against revival. The world is against revival. Satan and the world has had its way. Look, they've taken God out of public places. They've taken God out of schools. They're trying to take him completely out of the government. They've taken him out of most churches. They've taken him out of the public place. We kill babies. We've normalized homosexuality, which God calls an abomination. We've changed the definition of marriage. Satan and the world does not want that to change. They want to keep things the way they are. And the thing that people need to do to bring about revival is not building walls. It's not rebuilding armies or offensive weapons. It's not even electing Christian politicians. And we should. I mean, we ought to vote for people that believe the Bible and depend on God. But the thing that will bring revival back to our land is when God's people turn back to him, build the altars, and worship him in the way that he says to worship him. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Who, by the way, the human author of 2 Chronicles 7:14 is probably the same human author that wrote the book of Ezra. Says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That's what the Jews that came back to Jerusalem, that came back to rebuild God's house, that's what they needed most of all. They needed for God to forgive their sins. They needed God, for God to hear their prayers. They needed God to heal their land. And what they did in building the altar, the very first thing, was them humbling themselves and pray and seeking God's face and turning from their wicked ways. That's what they were doing because they wanted God to heal their land. Now, look at verse 4. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. So this is one of the feasts that God told his people to keep. And again, they kept it, just like Moses, just like God told Moses, and Moses told the people to keep. Daily burnt offerings. The duty of every day that was required. Now, look back at verse 1 of chapter 3. When the seventh month was come. So they were in the seventh month. The Feast of Tabernacle took place on the 15th day of the seventh month. In fact, the Jews just celebrated the Feast of Tabernacle. It started October the 13th, and it ended on October the 20th. Of this year. It's also known as Sukkot, which means booths or tabernacles. It was instituted by God in Leviticus chapter 23. Now, you don't need to turn to it. I'm going to turn back and read just a few verses from from Leviticus chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Here's what the Bible says. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land. So it was a sort of a Thanksgiving feast. Ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you of the first And then she'll take you on the first day, the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So again, it happened at harvest time. They were to make little booths or little huts, so to speak, to remind them of God's provision when they came out of Egypt, when they were wandering through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. During that time, they depended on God for everything. I mean, they were wandering in the wilderness. They had no fields to harvest from. God sent them manna every day, except on the Sabbath day. He sent them twice the amount they needed on Friday, so they wouldn't have to go out on Saturday and gather. When they needed water, God oftentimes provided water in a miraculous way. I mean, he told Moses to strike the rock, and water would come out of the rock. And so this feast was a reminder to God's people that he was their shepherd, that he would dwell with them, and he would provide for them and take care of them and meet their every need. So here they are. They come back to Jerusalem in the 7th month. The first thing they did was set up an altar. And the first feast they kept, and I don't think it was by accident, by the way. I don't think it was just coincidence. I think God planned it. The first feast they kept was the Feast of Tabernacle, where a feast that reminded them that they depended on God for everything. 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 They were in the same state when they came back to Jerusalem as they were in the wilderness. They had nothing. They had no fields to harvest. They had no storehouses of crops. They had a little money that Cyrus and others had sent with them. But they were in a place where they had no walls. They had no army. They had to depend on God for their safety. They had to depend on God for what they ate. They had to depend on God for the water. They had to depend on God for everything. And so again, the first feast that they kept was a reminder of their dependence on God. Now look at verses 5 and 6. And afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and of everyone that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. From the first day of the 7th month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. So, after the first day of the 7th month, when they came back, every offering, every sacrifice, every feast, they willingly kept and offered unto the Lord. They had spent 70 years in captivity. The reason they had spent 70 years in captivity is that they had turned away from God. They ignored all the things that Moses commanded them to do to worship the Lord. Their exile was the punishment for them turning away from the Lord. Now they were home. And they came to God every way that God told them to come, again, through Moses. Every sacrifice, every feast, every offering, they offered it to God at the time he said to offer it, in the way that he said to offer it. Now, the foundation of the temple wasn't laid yet, but they didn't need a temple to obey God. They didn't need a temple to worship God. They set up the altar, and on that altar, they worshiped God. But the temple was why they came back. I mean, Cyrus has told them, if you go back, you need to rebuild the house of the Lord. Look at verse 7. They gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them of Zidon and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. So, as they were worshiping the Lord, again, every feast, every sacrifice, every offering, when God told them to do it, in the way that God told them to do it, they also realized they needed to rebuild the temple. And so they gave their money to the people that were going to build it. They gave their money and their goods to those that were going to supply the supplies to build the temple. In verse 8, now in the second year of their coming into the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jodadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all that were come out of captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. So they started work on the temple. They were under the commission of Cyrus, but they were also under the commission of God to rebuild his house. Verse 9, then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, and the son of Judah together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. So they laid, the workmen laid the foundation, and the people began to praise God. They played trumpets. They played cymbals. They sang. They gave thanks. They said, God is good. His mercy endureth forever toward all Israel. And the people shouted with a great shout. Again, they could worship God without a temple. But the temple needed to be rebuilt. The temple was a witness to the nations that surrounded Israel. It was a symbol that Jehovah God dwelt with his people, but it also represented, as the Bible says, a house of prayer for all people. Amen. That everybody was welcome to come to worship God and to pray. You remember in the book of Acts, where had the Ethiopian eunuch been when Philip encountered him in the wilderness? He had been in Jerusalem worshiping. And so the temple needed to be rebuilt. Again, as a testimony to those around Israel that God dwelt with his people and that God was available and open for all to come. We could worship without this building. You know that? We could. We did for a while. Some of you that were here, remember, we met down in the Masonic Temple for a few months when the church first started. But this building is a testimony to those people around us that God dwells among us, that God blesses us, and this is a house of prayer that's open to all people. All are welcome to come. All are welcome to get to know our God. All are welcome to come and offer their prayer up to him. All right, look at verses 12 and 13. But many of the priests and the Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. They wept, and they shouted for joy. They wept because as the foundation of this temple was laid, They remembered why it was destroyed in the first place. They remembered that they had turned away from God. They remembered that God had to punish them, and the 70 years of exile was their punishment. They'd been warned, and they wept, probably saying, if we'd only listened to the prophets of God, if we'd only listened, we wouldn't have to be going through what we're going through now. But they also shouted for joy. Now they were home. Now they were where they were supposed to be. Now they were doing, they were worshiping God again. Now they were doing what they were supposed to do again. And that last verse says, the noise of their shouts of weeping and their shouts of praise and joy were heard afar off. When we as God's people are in the place where he wants us to be, and we are doing the things that he wants us to do, the world will hear, the world will notice, and the world will be changed. Again, when God's people are where he wants them to be, doing what he wants them to do, the world will hear, and the world will notice, and the world will be changed. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Ladies will be praying over here in this room. Men will be back in the library. Please join us if you can. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.